Scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 8. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me.
Good morning, family. I hope you've all had a good last week, a good night's rest last night. I hope you've all been taken care well. This morning, I thought that we'd go over more of a foundational lesson. I was hoping that more of those from the Ice Cream Social would be here. It doesn't look like we have any, but who knows? Maybe they'll turn out. We never know. But nonetheless, I would direct your attention to this 1 Corinthians 15 passage, to talk about how Christ died for our sins. And I would also remind us that as we come to worship services, we come to worship in spirit and in truth. We come to edify one another in love and in humility. And something else that people tend to forget sometimes is that we also come to learn. We come to learn something that we didn't know maybe before. So each time we come through these lessons, and each time I make these lessons up from the Word of God, each time we must remember that we can always learn something new, that we're always students of the Word of God. So don't always think, you know, or don't maybe shut your mind off to things, you know, and thinking that you maybe know everything, because there's still, keep an open mind, as we talked about in our class, because there still maybe is something that we don't know that we can learn. Certainly there is. None of us know everything. So keep that in mind as we continue to have these lessons each Sunday, even Wednesdays and Sunday afternoons or evenings. But what we're talking about is Christ died to take away our sins. So this is one of the most foundational points, of course, in the Christian faith, that Christ died to take away our sins, for without it, we would not be able to have eternal life in heaven with God. Something that we should always be praying in our prayers is our thankfulness that Christ did this very thing, that the Father sent Him to do this very thing. As people who are wanting to become Christians or who are already Christians, we must remember this important event in mankind's history. Remember of the gospel accounts when He went to that cross. Of course, how all those things carried out. Every single maybe one of His last words as well, His seven last sayings. But remember Christ, how He got beat for you. Remember how He died for you and for me. How He went through all of that suffering and bled His blood so that we can have remission of sins. As that perfect sacrifice, of course, He was. But without it, our faith would be nothing and completely pointless. Completely for nothing. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-8, once again, as we just read there, since you already read it, I won't read it entirely again, but verse 3, there if you'd read with me once again, just verse 3, and then 4. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So we'll talk about that just for a minute. A Christ who was and is the Son of God. He gave Himself freely to pave that way for mankind, for mankind to be able to be cleansed of their sins. Without Jesus' sacrifice, without Christ doing that for mankind, nobody throughout all time could have had that salvation in heaven. Nobody. They may be in paradise right now, but even they, as we learn from Hebrews, needed Christ's sacrifice. All men, all women, throughout all time, all dispensations of time, needed Jesus and Christ to do that for us all. Jesus is the only true way to get to heaven in this age. We need to understand that as well. Where do we find that? Acts chapter 4 and verses 8 through 12. Put your bookmark there. We'll come back. Acts 4, 8 through 12. It talks about how there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. We're going to read 8 through 12 though. Acts 4, 8-12 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by whom this man stands here before you whole, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.'" Notice the wording of "must" there as well. "But those who choose to become a disciple of Christ must realize, or are already a disciple of Christ, must realize that without this important event happening in mankind's history, without Jesus having died for us and resurrected, of course, as well for us, we would not be able to have that salvation in heaven. He had to do both of those things. He had to die and resurrect on the third day, as He did, for mankind." So as we talked about His death, we'll also go to Romans 6:3-4. Romans 6:3-4, another good set of verses to keep in mind as we talk about Christ's death for us. Romans 6:3-4. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His" what? "Into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." He died for us. He resurrected for us by the Father so that we could walk in that newness of life. Christians, understand that as we talk about even resurrection, as Jesus resurrected, of course, for us, so that we could be able to also conquer death, what are we resurrecting into? We talked about that newness of life there. Continue with me in verses 5-11. Still same chapter. Romans 6:5-11. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him." Verse 9. "Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives, He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So dying to sin is the representation. Even in baptism, putting away the old man, dying completely to that old former life of sin and evil, and walking in a newness of life as Jesus resurrected from the grave, as Jesus resurrected from that tomb. We also in our life should die to that sin, completely putting that sin away, and then resurrect as a new creature. Resurrect as one in Christ, in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, as a child of God. Resurrect a new life against sin and darkness. Resurrect living a new life likewise to Christ's life that He lived. Being like His behaviors, imitating His exact behaviors. Imitating every single thing that the New Testament church did in the New Testament, not the Old Testament, not God's people in the Old, but the New Testament. Imitating all those things and following the entirety of the gospel. And one question I might ask you, brethren and friends, is what is the entirety of the gospel? Is it Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? No. It's all of the scriptures of the New Testament. All of the scriptures of the New Testament are necessary, not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We need the epistles. Why? Because they were inspired by the Holy Spirit just as the rest of the Bible was. But we are under the New Testament in this age. So we need to understand that the entirety of the New Testament is necessary. You may not cut it off at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No one should, no one can, by divine authority. Romans 6:23, though, "Those wages of sin will no longer have hold over you. Death will no longer have hold over you if you are baptized into Christ and rise a new creature. And you are resurrected a new creature." Understand that it's a spiritual resurrection. Whenever you die to that sin, you spiritually resurrect a new creature in Christ when you come up from that watery grave of baptism. even for your conscience sake, that is for you. Baptism is for you to be able to know that you are a new creature. But still, we must do it. It is commanded, Mark 16, in verses 15 through 16, and of course, Acts 2:38. Many other scriptures as well in the Peters. But Romans 6:12 through 14, we'll read that now as well. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, but you are not under law, but under grace. So sin and death no longer reigning over the Christian. Whenever you choose that life, whenever you choose to walk in that newness of life, you're no longer conformed to this world, Romans 12:1-2. You are now walking as a Christian who follows every single law and principle that God has instituted to you. You follow those things to the T. You don't pick and choose things to follow. You don't have private interpretation whenever you go throughout the Scriptures and rightly divide these things. And I say the New Testament, but you rather follow everything that Jesus, New Testament, has to tell you. Therefore, you are a follower of Jesus' ways and Christ's ways, and a follower of God and a child of God whenever you do all those things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. We just read there how all those people witnessed Jesus' resurrection. All those people witnessed Him coming back from the grave. 1 Corinthians 15:4-8. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We'll read it again now. And that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. Of course, that's Paul, the writer of this epistle. Christ being resurrected after His death was witnessed by many, and some historians like to forget that the Bible is still also a book of history. It is still also a historical book that even though it was written by so many different writers, around 40, even though it was so many years ago, and the expanse of the Bible, and that is by the writers, covers around 1,500 years of complete unification across all the writers of the Bible, of course, all inspired by the Holy Spirit. They were all unified under the same God, under the same God that brought to you Jesus Christ. That same Jesus died for your sins and resurrected that you might also resurrect in the newness of life. Understand that we are new living creatures today as Christians. We cannot pick and choose things, of course, in the New Testament to follow. But we are living united as the Church of Christ under this one Christ, and He is our head. We are also called the disciples of Christ. We are called God's children. We are also called Christians as they first were in Antioch. But He was witnessed by many. The Bible is not false, brethren. The Bible is not something that somebody made up. The Bible is not a fable. The Bible is not a story. The New Testament is not a story. All of it is unified, infallible, unlimited, in the sense that no man could ever mess it up. Why? Because it was divinely authorized in every single way, in every dispensation of time. And all is unified. There is no contradiction unless there is a private interpretation. There is no contradiction. You may look through the entirety of the Scriptures, and as long as you keep it in context, as long as you understand the things that are being said, you will never be able to find a contradiction in the Scriptures. Let's talk about this a little more. 1 Corinthians 15:12-9. If you're still there, unless you're not, turn there, please. But 1 Corinthians 15:12-9, it says, "Now if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." Verse 18. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Something you find interesting here in the Bible is that it even makes an argument for itself. Some believe, of course, that Christ did not die, or that He's not the Christ, and He didn't die for mankind, or maybe that He wasn't resurrected, of course, as this text is just saying. Even Paul the Apostle here was reasonable in this, in understanding that it would be silly to believe in these things if they were not true. Paul wouldn't have dedicated his entire life. These apostles wouldn't have dedicated their entire life. And all the prophets, they wouldn't have dedicated it over all those years of history, hundreds and now thousands of years of history. They wouldn't have dedicated all that time if the God of the Bible was not true. They wouldn't have unified in all the things they said if the God of the Bible didn't tell them what to do. Paul the Apostle was reasonable in making this argument. He continued to preach these things because they certainly were true. He did know that Jesus raised from the dead on that third day. He did know, or he does know even, as a life-giving spirit as well, likely, in paradise. But Paul knows, and he did know, that Christ died and resurrected so that we might be able to also die to sin and resurrect in newness of life. The different verses you can look at, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Romans 12:1-2, as we mentioned, and Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Some of the most well-known verses to Christianity. But Christ, of course, died and resurrected to be able to take away our sins and make us new creations of God living in Him. No longer conformed to the ways of this world, that is of sin or of evil or of the devil, but we are conformed to the ways of God and the ways of Christ, that His behaviors, His acts of worship, we are conformed to those ways and to the ways of light and of the kingdom of heaven. But as we talk about resurrection just a little bit more, we're going to first go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, if you would with me. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. I'll give you some time to turn there. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. All right. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. Verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6, continue with me. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So once again, talking about how Jesus is the only one that can get us to the Father, that can reconcile us to the Father. He's the only one that can get us that forgiveness of sins. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved, by which men must be saved. Only Jesus is the one who can get us there. All mankind was waiting for Jesus until He came, for it was promised to Abraham back in Genesis that a seed would come. And that seed was Jesus. And when He came, they rejected Him. Don't be like that. Don't also reject Jesus. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, today, do something about it and act on that faith. 1 Corinthians 15:35-39. Turn there with me once again, and we'll read that text. 15:35-39. But someone will say, how much are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God, verse 38, gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. What this is talking about here is this example that Paul's using of even the plant life cycle. In that, those first parts of that section we just read, how it has, you know, a different form. Maybe it's dead at first. It's just a seed. But then what happens? Once it dies, you put it in the ground, and then it rises up. It comes up as something completely new. That's what the life of becoming a Christian is like. Rising up something completely new. Living in a new, different way. Beautiful. Undefiled. As soon as it comes up. Until eventually something comes and tarnishes it. Of course, we can make many different other illustrations with that, but it's a great illustration Paul makes. A different body or form. What this is to tell us is that we are resurrected with Christ. Of course, even in judgment day, even in whenever we pass from this life, we will take on those spiritual forms that we have within us. Zechariah 12:1. If you'd like to write this down. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundations of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. I encourage you to remember that verse. And forms the spirit of man within him. Every single one of us have a spirit within us. The question is, what will you do with that spirit? Will you save it? Or will you let it go and die to sin? For the wages of sin is death. Will you do something about that? Will you make sure that you live on after this life? Or will you ensure that you don't? Will you ensure that the pits of hell are for you? Will I ensure that? That's the choice of all of us. What will we choose today? Let's read our last section of text, 1 Corinthians 15:40-49. 1 Corinthians 15:40-49. We're not done yet. 40-49. Still talking about now even a more in-depth concept. Verse 40 says, there are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, the ones we're in now, by the way. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. And it is raised in power. Verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a what? A spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. Verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also those are those who are heavenly. Last verse. And as we have been, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Capital M. Will you bear that image? Will you bear that image of Christ in your life today, in your life for the remainder of your time here on this earth? And will you prove yourself acceptable to God so that you may go to heaven one day? Or will you forsake every single thing that I just said in this lesson and every single thing that God just told us? Will you forsake the entirety of the Bible? Will you forsake the entirety of Christ and the New Testament? Or will you take part in heaven? And after this life, as our evolutionists say in our society, there's going to be nothing, right? And there's no hope. You want to have hope? I want to have hope. I want to know that this life isn't it. I hope you do too. And if you want that, you have to follow Christ. And I have to follow Christ. All of us. You want that today? You want to be baptized into Christ today? You want to get away from sin? All of us do. Do something about that. Do something about that so that the devil no longer has that hold on you. That sin no longer has that hold on you. For it is appointed after death every single man the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. And will you be able to stand before God and say that I lived a faithful life? Will I be able to say that? Will we? Will this church of Christ here be able to say that? The question is to you, friends and brethren, are you ready to face the judgment of the living God? If you're ready for that day, then praise God. If you're not ready for that day, you need to do something about it. You need to do something about it. If you have a sin in your life, it's time to repent. It's time to get that out of your life, for the wages of sin is death. If you're not walking in newness of life as you were commanded as a Christian, get rid of that sin or whatever it is in your life. Don't let it take you anymore. Don't let that death reign over you anymore. Do something about it. if you're not a Christian already, and you believe Jesus is the Son of God, and you believe the words that were just said in this Bible, why are you not a Christian? Become one today. And you can have that hope in heaven. You can have that home in heaven right now. Right now, waiting for you. Do something about it. I encourage you, I challenge you to grow in your life. And growth in your life, the most important type, is spiritual growth. And it starts with Jesus. It's not in any other religion of this world, because there's a lot of them. It's in Jesus Christ. Find Him, and you find the way to life. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except through me. Will you do that today? Will you take on Christianity? A disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ. Will you take on Christ? Will you become a Christian? Matthew 13:49-50. Whenever it's too late, those, of course, who did not become Christians will face that fiery furnace. Do something about it today so that you don't face that fiery furnace, whether it will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:49-50. Brethren, friends, if you have any need today, any need at all, if it's a prayer for encouragement, please do come to the front as we're about to sing and let us help you. But once again, if you're not a Christian, the plan of salvation is simple. You've heard the word today, and all you have to do is believe Jesus is the Son of God, and then repent of your sins. And then confess Jesus is the Son of God before men. And then be baptized into the water for remission of your sins and to be added to the kingdom of God. And you will have heaven awaiting you right now. You'll have a mansion in heaven awaiting you right now, eternal glory for you in God. And then remain faithful so you can get that home in heaven. If you have any need today, this morning, please do come to the front as we stand and as we sing.
Their nature and heaven.